Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week, I have a really fun guest. Formerly William, but informally, Skip Miller is my guest today. And he's the president of M3 Learning, which is a proactive sales management and sales training company located in Silicon Valley. But today, we're going to talk more about Skip's book, Above and Below the Line. So I'm going to let Skip further talk about his accomplishments. There's so many here. I don't know what he wants to talk about that relates to the book, but I was very taken by some sections of the book, especially the dealing with inbound conversations and outbound conversations that I hope that we could talk about today. Skip, welcome to the podcast.
Broadcast, podcast, whatever you want to do. I'm happy to be here.
The event, how's that?
There you go. Happy to do it. Yes, and thank you for that introduction. And again, whatever we can do to help your audience,
yeah,
especially in, you know, as they outbound and inbound, you know, there's a big difference inbounding and outbounding. Inbounding, it's, you know, why have you called us? But there are some nuances there. And then outbounding, there's some, you know, you're starting at stage zero. You're not starting at stage one. So happy to talk about some of those differences.
Okay, great. Yeah. And for those of you listening, SDR world and MRR, marketing response rep world, sometimes we're dealing with blended SDR roles where you're actually fielding inbound leads. And those are usually what I call continuing the conversation. And then outbound leads are the self-generated ones, the targeted ones that we're looking to reach out to someone to start a conversation. Or in some cases, we're working off a list that we had a conversation in the past. They went dark on us for whatever reason, or we put them into long-term follow-up. And now we're coming back into the fold with these accounts, trying to get them to the next stage in our sales process, that next action. Let's start with the inbound. I like the way you described it. And one of the things I want to ask you is, if you're a two-year-out SDR, are you more naturally inclined to like inbound because of the implied psychological thing? Or do you find it doesn't really matter once you get the actual tactical knowledge of how to separate these types of calls? They're both the same. They both feel the same. They both are just as fun to do. What are you seeing out there in the world?
Yeah. So the whole inbound marketing automation stuff was, hi, you've touched our website, you know, ask for a trial, download a white paper. How may I help you? And I view that very reactively, because now the buyer is in charge of the buy sale cycle. Well, this is what I want. And we feel if I do what they tell me to do and I do it well, well, I'll get an order, which for the low hanging fruit does work and then create success patterns. So once those low-hanging fruit things are gone and companies start having to deal with other people, and not students and stuff, but other people coming in, you know, in selling above and below the line, we talk about there's two value propositions. Mary Lou, I'm on a mission to destroy the term decision maker, because I think there's two. I think there's one below the line who says, I'm responsible for making whatever we buy work. And there's one above the line who says, that thing I just bought for $100,000 is going to make a dent in my $10 million problem. So I don't really care if it's blue, green, yellow, or if it's left-handed or right-handed. So what happens is all these inbound leads are typically below the line buyers. Right. And the SDRs and the marketing folks of the world have been taught in boot camps and in all the meetings they have, feature function, feature benefit, competitive wins, you know, landmines, grenades, all these things. So we have a great time talking about the below the line buyer. They want to talk about us. We want to talk about us. Everyone's talking about us. So we develop that tool set. When you go outbound, you typically try to go to the C-suite, which we call above the line. Mm-hmm. Well, using below the line language to above the line buyer isn't going to work. Mm-mm. So therefore,
not at all.
No. So we actually have a little metaphor. It's kind of fun. I was born and raised in Ohio, and we've got a big family and stuff. And every holiday, we usually get like 50, 60 people, like for Thanksgiving and stuff. And there's so many people. We have two tables. We have the kid table and the adult table. And the kids love it because they get to speak kid talk. And the adults love it because they don't have to speak kid talk. And it's just kind of like a two different value proposition thing. So if you're going to go start outbounding or accepting above the line leads, you better learn a new language. And that new language is of, you know, more business value than it is the product value itself.
So how does one go about, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, I like the analogy. I get the big kid table and the little kid table. But, you know, how do we frame these conversations? Are we still talking about features, but talking about them in a way that's business language oriented? Or are we just scrapping the whole feature benefit thing and talking about return on investment and all these, you know, how more, I guess, result oriented type? What's the difference in this narrative between the two?
So let's talk about similarities. Both the below the line buyer want outcomes. The below the line buyer says, listen, I'm tired of working weekends. I'm tired of working at the thing I have. I've got to do 40% more next year with the same stuff. It's not going to work. I need something. I need a different tool.
Right.
The business above the line buyer has these initiatives. And our analogy, Mary Lou, is we call them trains in the train station. Imagine the CMO is the train station master and he's got five initiatives for the year. I want to generate 30% more leads. I want to get, you know, open up a new marketing arm. I want to, you know, open up a new channel in Latin America. So if you can make a dent in those initiatives, in the trains that are in the train station, that's a different value proposition than the user buyer, this below the line buyer who says, you know, I've got to make this thing work and I've got to be trained on it because if I do this, I'll be able to not have to work weekends and I'll be more productive and we won't have to hire as many people as we need to. Two different value propositions.
Two different ones, but it's so difficult to map out or to guess. I mean, below the line is, often, let's face it, it's easier for us because it is feature benefit oriented. It's the tasks that the folks that we're trying to sell to below the line.
They want to talk about us. We want to talk about us. We have a great time.
Right. Yeah, right. So when you're going above, though, what are the tools in the toolkit that we can use to create a narrative for these people if we don't really have a sense of the profile of the type? Like, tell us that example that you were saying of the CIO versus the CTO. Where do we learn about stuff like that? How do we figure that out?
Well, I'm an immersion program person. So if you want to learn Russian, just dive into Russia or whatever it may be, right? So if you want to learn about a CIO, it's really simple. Number one, if you ask me, when I go on a sales call to an ATL, or above the line buyer, my job's real simple. I hunt for trains and identify gaps. Why is the train in the train station? So I'll go to a VP of sales and say, hey, as you look at 2020, what are your top goals and objectives? And one may be to increase revenue by 30 points. Great.
Yep.
How you doing on that? Well, we got 20 of the 30 going, but we're missing the 10 points. Well, I don't know if I can make a dent on those or not, but at least if we've identified a gap. So the below the line buyer is never invited to those meetings. So I think energy for a sale typically is generated above the line. And if we can outbound to those ATLs, I'm hunting for trains and identifying gaps. And if we don't have any trains in the train station and there's no gaps, I don't think you have a qualified sale. So that's what we do differently when we go above the line is we just hunt for trains. Hi, as you look at the next 6 months, as you look at the next 9 months, what are the initiatives that aren't out there making you money? They're in the train station for a reason, to play that metaphor out.
Right, right. And then also asking them the priority of getting things fixed. Because in the outbound world, the other thing we're worried about is time. And we need to be able to understand, are there long, short, and medium-sized time elements where we can bucket these things? Because we're trying to manage a pipeline that's equally balanced so that we can forecast with more regularity. So in addition, that they're also the keeper of the time to get projects done. When you say 6 months, is that 6 months to completion or 6 months to show a dent? Or is there a ramp process involved? But I like the way you describe that because it's anyone can ask these questions is what I'm trying to get at. But the people who are like, oh, no, I'm a lowly SDR. I can't talk to the president of the company. You know, is it possibly mindset that you're seeing? And obviously you figured out how to get them over that hump of feeling confident to be able to have these business conversations, because they're not getting into the weeds of the bits and bytes of how that's going to happen. They're trying to scope out what is on the horizon. What priority do you have you placed on this? Which ones have the highest impact for you? These are standard questions that my kids can ask. We can all ask these kinds of questions. You should get over that fear that just because they're in a leadership position doesn't mean that they don't want to have a conversation with you, because you're hitting at the heart of what's concerning for them.
Yep. And think about it this way as well. On an inbound lead, it's how may I help you? And our receptors are open of, okay, I'm going to listen to how we can help. And it's all about us, what we do, and how I might be able to put together a proposal or a solution that can help what you're talking to me about. Mm-hmm. Outbound, or especially at ATL, it's kicking in that natural curiosity. It's, yeah. Hi, as you look at next year, always time travel, as you look at next year, what are the trains in the train station? Because if you ask an ATL, what train station do you have in the station right now? He's going to go, I don't know. I've been attending meetings that talk about 2020. I mean, and every one of their trains has a reason. And to your priority issue, right? There are, you go to Europe, there's the TGV trains, very fast trains. There's the intercity trains, the TGV trains, the real fast trains, those are going to be a top priority. And what I love about talking to the CIO or CTO or CMO is they have the trains in the station for a reason. They want to talk about getting them out. You sit there and want to give them a slide deck, pitch deck. No. Well, why would a CIO or CMO talk to me? Well, if you ask them about why their trains are in the train station, they'll light up because they want to get them out. They don't want to sit through let me give you a quick 5 slideshow deck on who we are and what we do and why we're uniquely qualified. The number one thing we found talking to CEOs is, what do CEOs hate when talking to SDRs or salespeople? And it's when I pick up the phone and it's a solution looking for a problem.
Right, exactly.
Yep. That natural curiosity is a top trait of top SDRs.
Mm-hmm. That's such great advice. And I think, I'm cringing on this side of the phone because the emails that I get from people are that very thing. They ask for time and give me no reason why.
Right. And then they start pitching because that's what they've been trained to do. We call it, Mary Lou, don't talk about the dog. So you can't woof, you can't bark. For years, I've told people in your initial touches of your cadences and sequences, don't talk about yourself. Have the other person talk about themselves. And everybody goes, oh, I get it. Oh, yeah, okay, sure. And then you get on a Y Connect and it's like, hi, what we do quickly, 4 minutes later, they're still talking. So what we tell people is no barking, no woofing. So I'll get an email. Here's my email I want to send to this CMO. What do you think, Skip? I'll just send it back with a big woof because you used the word I 17 times. What we do, our company. Stop it. Just really ask questions, listen, hunt for trains. That's your goal. And you could hunt for trains by persona. Your SDRs are pretty smart. What keeps a CMO awake at night in 2020? What keeps a CIO awake at 2020? What keeps a small business owner awake in 2020? You'll get some ideas of what trains are in the station.
Right. And plus the internet is very helpful in looking around and researching. There's a lot. I think in your book, even you talk about how to find out where to uncover these value props, just by looking through the internet. And once you develop that profile, now, my guys, I want you to develop a profile of these folks that are in that bullseye that you're going to be having conversations with, the role, not the title, the role of the person. Because that way you can make a decision as to whether you want to develop a sequence, you want to develop a lengthy touch cadence over a time period, or if this is a blitz type of conversation where you're mapping through the organization to find the right person, for example. Because in these larger deals, like I had a client that had 30 marketing positions in the firm. So which one is the right one for me to talk to, right? You still have to map. I know they always say, I hate when they say, you know, oh yeah, since the internet's here, we know who's who, we know what they want. Like, yeah, go through 30 marketing titles and you tell me which one specifically is going to be the one. Yeah,
who's the alpha dog? I just want to talk to the alpha dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, hey, Mary Lou, and also quickly, for your SDRs on an inbound, most of their inbounds are going to be below the line. Hi, I noticed you guys do this. Can you give me a demo or a trial? And that happens. And then what we hear from SDRs and salespeople is, once I've done that, how do I get to the above the line buyer? I don't want to go over my below the line buyer's head. So how do I get there? Do I say, hi, John, you know, this has been really good, but I need to talk to somebody who's more important than you, which never really works well.
No, that's what we're thinking though.
Yeah. So we've really tried to really position the question where, not who, not what, because who is attacking? Where? Right. Hey, John, what we offer can really affect numerous trends in your organization. It might be able to affect lead gen and this, that. Where should we go to find out these other trends for the investment you're making that for the same amount of money could make a dent in two or three other different business issues? And John, being the conductor on track one, is going to go, well, I really don't know. And then you could say, well, let's go find out, because my job as a salesperson is to make sure I maximize any investment you guys are going to be making. And boy, I would be derelict in my job if I didn't find additional trains like lead gen, opening new channels, I mean, whatever else your company does to help out. And that's a good way to try to get to ATLs, by using the question where, not who.
I love that. And if you get the, you know, hands on hips guy saying the buck stops here, you can still navigate around that. But, you know, I appreciate that the buck stops here, and then segue into that conversation you just said about my role, and it's my duty to find and look and make sure that what we're going to be talking about going forward will have more insights into different parts of the organization as well. So I'm going to be looking out for that, because that is what I must do in order to be a quality partner with you going forward. Well, so there's lots of ways to get around it.
Yeah, think about it. Right now it's October, and every ATL in the world is thinking about next year, and every BTL in the world is not invited to those meetings. So how does a BTL know what's coming down the track next year?
Right.
I mean, why don't we find that out? Because, boy, we don't want in 4 or 5 months to go, well, all of a sudden the ATL goes, I want to do this too. And the BTL goes, well, you never asked for that. I didn't buy that. And then we're all in a mess. We're not in a good point.
Right. Definitely not in a good place. I love that. And it's very comfortable. Didn't that sound like something we can all do and do well if we practice and make sure that we role play that with our peers and our colleagues? These are natural questioning skills that allow us to go both inbound, outbound, and even referrals. When we get a referral from a client or a colleague or an external person, in addition to asking them to make the introduction, we still need to have a way to get to the right person. That might not be the right person. They may be those below, as Skip calls, below the line people, rather than the above the line people where we want to have those conversations. That also is going to shrink the lag. So do you have any that you can share with us, some case or use cases where getting people to go above more often has actually shortened the lag of time, the cycles have shrunk to get to that next action in the selling cycle?
It happens all the time. Quick story. A couple of years ago, we started with a company that sold some stuff to marketing, especially e-commerce people, and for A/B testing. And I walked in there, I said, what's the average sale? I said, 60 grand. I said, what's the average sales length? They said 132 days. I go, that's impossible. You cannot take 132 days to sell 60 grand. And they said, Skip, you don't understand A/B testing. And I said, folks, you don't understand business. I go, let me explain how this works. The VP of marketing just got her butt kicked because she missed her e-commerce revenue goals by 50% last year. So she's at the board meeting going, trust me, I got it down. So, you know, give me another shot. So they do. So she goes to her manager of e-commerce website and says, hey, Bob, why did we miss the number? What happened? He goes, man, I don't know. Maybe we should do some testing. She goes, yeah, okay, we should do some testing. So Bob's going to take 132 days to run the business, to run the sales cycle, 60 days to run a trial, 30 days to get the results. He'll have the results of the A-B testing website issue by October. Well, by October, the VP of marketing's fired because she's gone through three quarters. So all of a sudden, when you sit back and go, wow, there's two different energies here. The below-the-line buyer doesn't want to make a mistake and wants to buy the right one. But the business issue can't wait. Their sales cycle's dropped in half. And we see that constantly when you get more above-the-line business understanding of what are the trains in the train station, what priorities are there, and what's the results expected for those trains are different questions than what do you want our stuff to do for you? You know, for a quick, you know, small deal, take it down, go. But for your bigger deals, you got to identify trains and hunt for gaps. That's for sure.
Now, tell us about the differentiation above the line dialogue. You're going to get a lot of questions of what makes you different than the, like, say you're trying to go in and replace a current vendor. Uh-huh. What will the above the line people focus on? Hey, we're happy. We've got somebody. What makes you different? Do you hear those conversations a lot above the line?
Typically above the line lives 3, 6, 9 months in the future. So it's like, okay, guys, you know, what are you guys going to be doing in 9 months that you want your current thing to do? Because if it still does what you want it to do based on the new goals and drivers in 9 months, I wouldn't switch either. But typically, there's going to be a gap. And that gap's going to say, guys, if your current vendor can solve that gap, great. But my guess is it can't. And that's why you're talking to us. So, you know, I'm always going to time travel with the ATLs. The BTLs, I mean, they don't know what's coming up 6, 9 months. So it's going to be more of a feature benefit war. But that's what we do differently to the ATLs. We definitely time travel them and ask them, as you look at the next 6 months, what new trains are coming in the station? Because if those are your new trains, I wouldn't be wanting to use what you guys are using.
Right. So there is some discussion then, or is there some discussion about what the new normal would look like 6 to 9 months down? Do you give them a teaser, any taste at all, or are you just focused on the sense of urgency of the moment?
You are so correct. I'm going to sit there and say, in 9 months, what do you think the outcome should be? And let them paint their picture, which is what ATLs are really good at. And then go, well, boy, if that's your outcome you want, wow, you may have to do some. I mean, you want them to paint the outcome and you can prompt and help them. But that outcome is what the ATLs are all about. You know, I'm going to get 30% growth. And if once I get there, I'll be able to start this division and do this and do that. And they know they've got hiccups of trying to get to their vision, which is why the train's in the train station. And that's where you can actually start having a good dialogue with your ATLs, but always time travel, always time travel.
Yeah, I love that. And you have a chapter in the book about understanding the ATL energy. I really enjoyed that. And I think that's a great chapter for SDRs to read because we have to get ourselves over this fear of talking to people who have a higher role value than we do. And I think that is the key to the beginning of this, because if you can get the mindset to the point where you're on equal ground, then your natural curiosity as a sales development representative will come out and you'll start asking those questions and you'll start sitting there really wondering why they do things a certain way, how they do things, what makes them different and unique. And those kinds of questions are not role specific. I mean, we're peer-to-peer at that point. And I really want you guys to think about that and get over this. Well, you know, I have to really understand ROI. And have you heard Skip talk about ROI the whole time?
Have you
talked about it?
You know, I find it funny that, you know, we can go to a party and talk to anybody, you know, hi, how are you? What's your name and stuff and so on. But we get an ATL on the phone and we just kind of like shrink because, boy, they're much more important than I am.
That's exactly it.
No, they're not. Number one, you know, use your curiosity. Number two, they want to talk to you because they want to talk about themselves and their trains and their gaps. So if you just stay focused and let them talk about their trains and their gaps, you'll win. I mean, you're a lot better than that. You know, let me give you a quick overview of what we do. Then you could tell me how I fit in your stuff. Oops, there's that solution hunting for a problem again.
Right. And, you know, this is something that also, if you're in a technical industry, I'm working with a client right now, very technical people, scientists and pathologists, and but they still have these business issues. They have to get a product to market. They have to make sure that their stuff works so that they can get it to trial. So there are these issues that are everyday issues that all humans have about the quality of what they're producing and making sure that, you know, it's going to be done right and that they'll get it done. And if we go in with that mindset, we can talk to anybody, you know, right?
Because they want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about their gaps. And if they can just get past the, hi, quickly, let me frame up who we are for you. No, just, you've got to earn the right to get there. And that's a whole different issue. But once you're there, let them talk about themselves. I'm convinced initial ATL conversation should be almost 70-30. Where we're asking questions. Now we may have to frame up a little bit of who we are to put context to it, but that ATL person, and merely quickly, if you're going to talk to an ATL, your vision should be next. Your vision should be, okay, what's the outcome of the call I want and what's our next step after that? Always think next before you pick up the phone, so you're intentional and directional on the call rather than I'm going to ask a couple questions and see what happens. That's not really, it's really kind of cool.
Yes. And we like to do call planning forms when we're starting out with SDRs so that especially when we're calling into our, what I call jump accounts for us are the accounts that if they move an eyelash, we jump. You know what I'm saying? Yep. We definitely want these accounts. So call planning, especially if you're not confident and you want to make sure you have all your I's dotted, your T's crossed, would get you to that point where you would have a next action. You would basically ask your questions, but then suggest next steps. Let's go through that. You have a chapter on that in your book too, don't you, about what happens now to accelerate the next step?
Sure. The finding energy of a deal is always going to be important. And in my opinion, energy is pretty much going to be above the line where they've got a revenue gap or they've got some train in the train station needs fixed. And they realize that and then give their below the line buyer, Bob, a budget. And Bob has to go, you know, energy is going to be above the line, which we believe if you're going to start as an SDR getting leads, and I don't really care if you follow a lead through sale or if you flip it over the wall to an AE, if you're going to find a good lead, finding out what the BTL buyer is all about, the features and functions they're looking for, and the ATL's gap. Now I think you've got a very energized deal rather than let the BTL say, well, we're going to take 6 months to evaluate all vendors. Oh, what's the ATL think on that one? Because
ATL's
business needs not going to go away in 6 months. And the problem we see is, you know, leads go to stage 3 or 4, then they go dark, they go ghost, they go south, and we have names for this, is because in 6 months that BTL has taken the time to evaluate and pick a vendor, the ATL's train's already left the station and there's new trains coming in. So, you know, don't expect a deal that's in your pipeline for 6 months, 9 months. I mean, we were at a deal the other day, a company where they were looking through their pipeline. And they had a couple of deals that were 272 days old. I'm sitting there going, the deal's dead. The guy's died. I mean, I mean, the ATL's trains are left the station. I'm sure you want to be the selected vendor. But then when they go back to the ATL and ask for you know, can we release these funds? The ATL's going to go, no, we've already kind of solved that problem. Here's my new problems. And they're going to be you know, playing musical chairs here.
So the key is to try to get a synergy between the above the line and below the line early on, and that way progress the sale with you being the essentially the coach, the consultant, the person that's going to move the sale and advance the sale forward and keep everybody lined up. And like you said, if you're going to carry it all the way to close, getting to close, or if you're going to do a handoff to the person who's going to take it to close, the more that you can get that synergy and that energy aligned before it gets handed off, the better. And you're saying stage two, right?
But yeah, but Bob's my champion. He's my below the light champion. He knows, I mean, he's my guy. You're killing yourself because there's two value propositions you want to get early. And you're taking a risk by thinking that just the below the line value prop is going to carry you through. It may, but your deal is going to be longer, and you'll have a more increase of the deal going dark because you didn't get ATL early.
And the operative phrase here that I want you guys to internalize is you've got to get both. No matter what your sales development role is, you have got to collect and understand the business conversation and, not or, and the feature benefit conversation in order to be able to have a qualified opportunity that can take it to the next steps. It's not one or the other.
No, table or gold table. Everybody's having Thanksgiving, but there's two tables.
There are two tables, so that influence map is your guide to get your foot in the door and start the conversations, but to continue the conversations to the point where it gets into discovery and further down into the pipeline, you have got to have that knowledge and pass that along if you're going to be passing that lead along. And by definition, it's not one or the other, it's both. And I think that's where we miss the boat a lot. We're not collecting enough of the conversation and the energy, as you say, of the conversation to be able to take the business and the feature benefit discussion to the next stage in the pipeline. I love it. So tell us what else we want to know before we say goodbye, because I'm already over our allotted time for conversation.
If your viewers want to get on my LinkedIn, right, I've got a bunch of videos. Like when I go to cities like Paris and Amsterdam and Chicago and stuff, I do these 2 to 3 minute videos. They're free. Just a reminder of some of the stuff we've talked about here. So that's an easy way to get a hold of me and watch some of my videos. And I try to get those out. Or visit the website, m3learning.com. We've got about 2-3 minute videos on a lot of topics. They're all free. I'm just I'm not going to capture your URL and market to you. We don't do that. So there's some free stuff for you if they want to do that. That's great. And just continue. And it sounds like it's really aligned with what you've been telling them as well.
It is. And I think the book is a must read, guys. And it's going to be a reference book for you. I mean, I have a Kindle version of it that I highlight that way. But really, we're all about role playing. We're all about huddling and getting better with our sales conversations. And this book is a great guideline to practice during your huddle sessions in order to be able to all get better as a team. And what we're trying to do here, remember, is reduce the amount of time it takes to get from initial or follow-on conversations all the way to op, or we're really looking at the high revenue potential of clients, which typically you're going to need that C-suite discussion in some capacity. And what I'm telling you today is that you need both. And Skip is he's the one, he's the main man. So he definitely has drunk that Kool-Aid because the whole book is about that.
What's fun is once you try it and start exercising the muscle, when the BTL says I'm in charge, you go, and yes, you are, Bob, but my job's to hunt for additional trains. How can we do that together? Or where should I go? I mean, just don't say, well, who's making the decision? And Bob goes, well, I am. And then you go, well, there's no way anybody on the planet would give Bob authority to make this decision. So, but now you're stuck. Nah, you don't want to
get stuck.
That role.
Yes. And we've all been there. We've all been stuck with that level of buyer who will not let us in, who will, you know, not let us talk to anybody else. So a lot of times you have to do what I call blow the account, go around him. It's just yucky. So using the where question, that's a game changer. I think that takeaway for today is definitely if we had one thing to change, that would be it. It's change the narrative of trying to get to the higher level buyer by using the where question. Yep. Skip, anything else that we want to share with everybody? I'll put all the links and stuff on your page of the podcast. But get the book. It's on Amazon. And you have the M3 Learning website. Anything else we want to add, or are we good to go?
The bottom line that we see in SDRs is that that underlying confidence, the confidence to make these calls and ask for, you know, where are these additional trains? And Mary Lou, I was taught a long time ago that the definition of confidence is an equal share of wins and losses. Because I'll ask any sales rep, you know, who in this room would agree that you learn more from your losses than your victories? And everybody's got to raise their hand. Right. You know, if you want to really get good at ATL and especially early to getting both value props, you're going to have to get dirty and take a couple punches and take a couple hits in the head. But you'll figure it out. You can make lemonade out of lemons. So do the right thing and get for your customer both value propositions early, And everyone wins then.
Definitely. And we have a way to do that. If you guys remember, when we look at our tiers of accounts or segmentation, go to those level three minnow accounts and practice this conversation. The ones that are, you know, they're nice to haves, but they're not going to make or break you. And then as you feel more confident, move into the tier two, and then finally to those jump accounts. And I think that that's a good training way to feel more and more confident. The more conversations you have, the better you get. We all know that. But start with the smaller minnow-y type of accounts and practice that way. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how quickly you can pick this up. Skip, thank you so much for your time.
The CMO of a $5 million minnow account has the same problems of a CMO of $100 million. So you're right. You're exactly right. You know, try those things small and then work your way up and build that confidence. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yes, I enjoyed it tremendously. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.